welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, speaking to you on the 28th of July, 2005. Things are very, very ominous in 2005. Many indicators tell us this. It continues. This has been going on for years. It's, you know, yesterday's news is last week's news, is last year's news, is last decade's news. But everything remains the same. A totalitarian one-world governmental system being implemented out from under our feet. Now, if we want to increase our numbers, and yesterday was quite an interesting broadcast with Hansa Molina and John from Ohio and John from New York. I'm singling you two guys out, and I want you to call in today. Because we're going to take calls. This is the first time I've done this since I've been on the new broadcasting network, Republic. As I used to be on Republic Radio, this is the place where it has to go. This is it. This is the network. You have to support it. Your pledges are needed at this point in time. We've covered this before, and make sure this happens to continue this broadcasting medium. I'm just very adamant in where I believe and what I believe because of the situations throughout my life, my observations. Now, why did I have all these observations as I was growing up? My mother and father were awake, plain and simple. We're usually the offspring of our parents in our knowledge. And this is no different in my case. I've carried on for my mother, so to speak. All my life I've been concerned. The Vietnam War blew me away. It never made any sense when Korea was never taken care of. Korea was a setup. Communist China was a setup. The Soviet Union was a setup. And I don't take it any further back than 1913, listeners. And if you want to increase our numbers, and why wouldn't you want to increase our numbers? That's the only chance we have. You can't take it back much further than 1913 to increase our numbers of people that are concerned about the way their livelihoods are going, the way their country's going. And the bottom line is, it emanates from the UN system. When you're beating up on George Bush, just like we used to beat up on Bill Clinton, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan, it goes back, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, it goes all the way back. The whole point is the implementation of the United Nations system. And when you're beating up on George Bush, you're actually beating up on the implementer of the UN system. And this is the point that I bring home constantly. And that's why, if you don't understand what I'm saying, go to my website. Look at my website, or our website. Dennis and Darren do a superlative job with the website. Darren has documented the fact that the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund, listeners. The IMF. You can go to that right on my website. You can see this. The Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund of the United Nations system. Every country that is a member of the UN is a member of the IMF. Every country has a governor to the International Monetary Fund. Who is the alternate governor of the International Monetary Fund, listeners? Who do you think that is? The alternate governor. John Snow is the governor of the IMF, the U.S. governor, but who is the alternate governor of the IMF? 800-313-9443. Do you know the answer? 800-313-9443. Who is the alternate U.S. governor of the International Monetary Fund of the U.S. government? American Exposé is the name of the broadcast that I do. I've been doing it for 9 years. Out of my concern for our country, I made a decision back in 1992. What am I going to do? Go to get a job. Go back to Colby Honda. Be service manager at Colby Honda, which I had that opportunity at one time. Could have regained it. Or should I just try and wake up our country? And in 1992, I made that decision, and I said, yes, just start waking up our country. Start talking to people. And then I met Anthony Hilder. He said, you know, you can talk to one or two people all you want, but the only way you're going to get anywhere is to get on the air. And so after 9 years, here's where I am. And certainly the information and documentation that I've been doing and the researching that everyone needs to do has brought me to these conclusions that George Bush and his military that you call is the military for the UN system. If we stop funding the UN system, if we stop our global COP directives of the UN system, the UN collapses. The Secretary of Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF, listeners. Let's take Jeff in Massachusetts. Do you know who the alternate governor of the IMF is, Jeff?
Hello?
Hi, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that bill passed. What's that bill? The CASA, that passed. I read that in today's issue of the Boston Globe.
Well, sure it passed.
Very close. It passed very close. And I...
Do you know why it passed?
Because the globalists wanted to pass.
And do you know what the passage for GATT was in 1994? One vote, and it was a majority vote, unconstitutional majority vote, and that one vote was Al Gore.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a lame duck, if I'm not mistaken, GATT and NAFTA got passed in a lame duck Congress.
Well, lame duck or not, they're idiots. But they're taking orders. They have to comply with Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve.
Wow.
This is the point. This is the boss of this country, is the Federal Reserve System, which is international bankers. And this is where you have to bring it to educating others, to increasing our numbers, as they've been walking around with proofs of a conspiracy in their wallets and billfolds their entire lives. Legal tender for all debts, public and private. It says right on the front of your bills, your dollar bills, $20, $50, $100 bills, legal tender for all debts, public and private. That tells you right there that we don't own anything.
You're absolutely right. We need to get back to the gold standard. We need to shut down the Federal Reserve. I'll give you a funny example of myself trying to educate people, and you are right. You can't educate one or two people. You need to get on the air and, you know, spread the word out.
Well, the point is, how many people have the opportunity to do this, and yet you have the opportunity to call all these different talk shows and connect the dots to them, and as other people listen to you on these talk shows, then people start to do their own research when they have the websites to go visit. And John Broger and, you know, John in Minnesota, he certainly has been promoting the website for years, even though we haven't talked in years. But this is the best opportunity in history to wake up people because of the websites. You know what I mean, Jeff?
Oh, yes. Oh, I love websites. Now, let me tell you a funny story before I get off the air. I was talking to two people. Now, these are my coworkers. One coworker is over 50 years old. I was talking to him about GATT, NAFTA, you know, basically all the stuff we talk about.
Right.
You know, just in simple words, do you know what CAFTA is? Oh, yes. It's going to screw our country. Simply put, the 50-year-old got it. And then I talked to a woman that was, you know, in her 20s. I'm telling you something, a glaze came over her eyes. You know what CAFTA is? No. I said the fundamentals of what it is, still the glaze. You know what the tariff system is? Still a glaze. I said, you know what? This is a word picture of what this country is. The young people don't get it. You pop open the hood of young people, there's no engine there.
Well, the engine is stalled because they're not being educated in school properly. And that's the bottom line. The dumbing down process started in the 1930s, and this is documentation that is presented by Charlotte Isabee, who was the guest on Monday, in her Deliberate Dumbing Down of America book. She chronicles and documents all the directions of dumbing down starting in the 1930s, and actually it started at the turn of the century, but the absolute documentation starts in the 1930s.
And then to make matters worse, you have a foreign-born population who knows absolutely nothing of our system and is a potential fifth columnist. And with this CAFTA bill passed, we're going to get more of these infected type of people coming into this country.
And that's the design of how to destroy sovereignty of a country that the UN has been promoting from day one.
Yes, and point is, I think we only have a very limited amount of time to get this country back, and it's with people that are over 50. Guess what? People aren't going to live forever. Generations don't live forever. What happens when that generation goes?
That's a good point, and we're all being bombarded. We're in a war now. The vaccinations are killing people. The aerial spraying, we really can't get to the bottom totally of it. Clifford Carnicom does the best, but we see it. That's documenting. You can see it in the skies. We don't know what this is all about. However, there's an incredible number of endangered species that they've been promoting, they being the EPA and government agencies, the endangered species and the invasive species, which is a downside to the global economy, according to a Parade magazine, which I have an article here. So
Whoa. We
have all these directions coming at us, and yet people want to sit here and blame Israel, blame the Jews.
You're right.
And the point is, okay, I see here right from the State Department, here dated January 5th, 2005, a report on global anti-Semitism from the State Department.
Amen.
I don't deny that this is the case in the situation about these situations, but I don't want people to not rule out Russia and their sponsoring of international terrorism. Because guess who's going to be the next president of the G8?
Who's that, Russia?
It'll be Vladimir Putin.
You know what? You touch a very good vein, because I'm telling you something. You are so right. Russia is a power player, and that should not be left out. And you're right about global anti-Semitism. Boy, you hit the nail right on the head with that one, because these terrorists are trained by the GRU. Stanislav Lunev said that in his book, Through the Eyes of the Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, let me shake your hand, proverbially speaking, for bringing out that good point. And you're right. We only have a real short window of time left, and hopefully people will wake up before it's too late. Because once the bombs start going off, it's already too late.
And the communication will be down. No one will be able to communicate with each other. There will be no organization to stop anything. And we've got to get the people on the inside in the federal government to understand what they're a part of. We have to get the armies of the other side to understand what they're a part of. And that is very, very easy to do at this point in time, because these broadcasts, they go all over the world.
Yes, we have communication. What you just described is the Soviet order of battle, which is to hit the Northeast and to hit California. Those are your communication centers, and split the country down the middle. I was listening to other shows today about the about CAFTA. They're not even talking about it. I'm talking about the syndicated ones like Bill O'Reilly and stuff.
Right.
That's it. That's your bottom line. There is an intentional media blackout on this subject.
And the point is, you have the UN system in place, you have the United Nations Security Council. From day one, the organization of the United Nations system made it perfectly clear that a Russian or a Russian Soviet was going to be the head, or a Russian satellite was going to be the head of the Security Council at the UN system.
Oh, that's a fact.
And that's been the way it's been all this time. So what are we doing with the coalition in Iraq? We're implementing the United Nations system in Iraq, and we're allowing communism to flourish in Iraq. And here we have Afghanistan, which Hansa Molina was stating the fact that, Russia left because that was their Vietnam. But they only lost 15,000 over that period of time, and yet they left a puppet government in place.
Northern Alliance.
And there you have the creation of the terrorist groups in that part of the world. That we supported during the Mujahideen during the Soviet invasion, and yet so what are we talking about? We're talking about a worldwide chess match.
You're right. You're right. A simple closing comment: the Northern Alliance is communist. We supported the communist.
Yes.
And most people don't know that. And here's the sick part: is that the people who are joining the military, and I hate to say it, are white males from down south. They're getting killed off because down south is more patriotic. What are we going to have left over here? Because it is a fact. After September the 11th, Brazilians were leaving the country. When the coast was clear, they stayed.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? That's a fact. After September the 11th, a whole bunch of Brazilians wanted to leave here because of all the nonsense. And then, you know, as soon as the coast was clear, things settled down. That's why I see happening to this country. You know, the good people get killed in the meat grinder called Iraq, while the people who you don't want stay.
Well, the great way to dilute a country is to flood it with immigration, to destroy its sovereignty. And this is not just happening in this country. It's happening all over the world.
Yes, indeed. Good closing comment, and have a good one.
Thank you for your call. I sure appreciate it. We'll be back to continue. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Who is the alternate governor of the IMF, listeners? Expose. American Expose spelled with a K. American spelled with a K, listeners, on purpose. We should have Joan Vion with us on the 8th of August, William. That's the 8th of August. Should have Joan Vion back with us. And who is the alternate governor of the International Monetary Fund for the U.S. government, listeners? That's the question I ask you. We do have Sam, but I want to keep Sam back in the limelight for a minute or two. Here we see Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841. And this is very, very interesting, listeners. You be prepared for this one. Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. Right in the U.S. Code, people. Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. Unlike political parties, which evolve their policies and programs through public means, by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views, and submit those policies and programs to the electorate at large for approval or disapproval, the policies and programs of the Communist Party are strictly prescribed for it by the foreign leaders of the World Communist Movement. Its members have no part in determining its goals and are not permitted to voice dissent to party objectives. Unlike members of political parties, members of the Communist Party are recruited for indoctrination with respect to its objectives and methods and are organized, instructed, and disciplined to carry into action slavishly, listeners, slavishly, the assignments given them by their heretical chieftains. Unlike political parties, the Communist Party acknowledges no constitutional or statutory limitations upon its conduct or upon that of its members. The Communist Party is relatively small numerically and gives scant indication of capacity ever to attain its ends by lawful means. Lawful political means. The peril inherent in its operation arises not from its numbers, but from its failure to acknowledge any limitation to its nature of its activities, and its dedication to the proposition that the present constitutional government of the United States ultimately must be brought to ruin by any available means, including resort to force and violence. Holding that doctrine, its role as the agency of a hostile foreign power renders its existence a clear, present, and continuing danger to the security of the United States. It is the means whereby individuals are seduced into the service of the World Communist Movement, trained to do its bidding, and directed and controlled in the conspiratorial performance of their revolutionary services. Therefore, the Communist Party should be outlawed. This is in the U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. And so, listeners, communism is not dead. Who is the alternate governor of the International Monetary Fund? Listeners, Let's take Paul in Ohio. Paul, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris. I was wondering, do you have the documents from the United Nations Department of Environmental, which calls for a very low worldwide population?
I'm not sure that I have that document, no. But I do have other documents that pertain to that. Tell us about this, Paul.
Yeah, the word that I got was, I don't have any documentation.
Oh, okay.
All I have is hearsay.
Uh-huh.
And I heard, you want me to say it?
Say it.
United Nations has a Department of Environmental calling for a worldwide population down to 235 million.
That's not hard to swallow for me.
Also, on another talk program, there was a lady that tried to call in and tell about this other lady. The lady's name is Thalen. I didn't get all of the emails. She didn't have a website, but it was Thalen, Hotbot or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Where that the city had told her they didn't want her around anymore.
Oh, really?
And they were doing something with the water in California.
Uh-huh.
Something that this is bits and pieces I caught from what she said on the program was that what they're putting in the water was something that just shuts you down. It causes things to shut down in your body.
I don't doubt that at all.
I wished I had the email. I don't have a computer or anything.
That does put you at a disadvantage, doesn't it?
Well, the library, but I work the hours where I really can't go because they shut that down to about 3 days a week.
I see.
Because they won't dip into the comprehensive annual financial report.
Money.
County.
Yeah. Right? Uh-huh.
Which is in the billions.
That's what I'm told, yes.
I was wondering, do you think I should, this is some advice I'm asking you for, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Should I put away MREs or anything like that, or don't worry about it?
I would always prepare for the worst. Regardless of the scenario that could come about, always prepare for the worst, Paul. Absolutely.
Is this number available to call you any time of the day?
You can take my number from the board operator,
okay.
And he'll give you my phone number.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, Paul, my privilege. Thank you. Who's the alternate governor of the IMF? I'm about to bring Sam from Missouri up, but who is the alternate governor of the IMF, listeners? Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner with American Exposé. On Republic Broadcasting now, the need for you to support this network is perilous right now. You must support this network to keep it operating. It's an expense that I've done research into to understand how difficult it is to make ends meet with a network. You need a staff. You need organization. And John's done this. And so your responsibility now is to support the products on the network and to pledge your donation to the network so we will never have to do this again. It can be a thriving success. This network can be a thriving success. On the website AmericanExpose.com, you'll find NSSM 200 Directive. That's the National Security Study Memorandum 200. That's National Security Study Memorandum 200. The 1974 directive signed by Henry Kissinger on behalf of President Nixon, and the text of the study report, Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. It's there, and you can learn more about this. There's a section that you can lead to, is overpopulation a national and global security threat? You can learn about all this in this one section, the section entitled Global Conspiracy to Depopulate the Planet is basically what it's all about. And so we have this, listeners. We have this going on today. And this is a great way to destroy sovereignty. It's the global conspiracy to depopulate the planet, listeners. So with that in mind, we have these directions. And according to a certain source, and who is this source? I don't know exactly who this source is, but he talks about the visible signs of the New World Order. It's from worldnewsstand.net. That's worldnewsstand.net. And he talks about when our president says a new world order, and actually he should be saying a new world communist order, he's right about that. However, the new world has yet to be explained to the American people in any way, shape, or form. So what does the new world order mean to us, and how will it affect our lives and the lives of our children? First, let's make clear what a new world order means. Through many decades of behind-the-scenes deals, treaties, and agreements between governments all over the world and international corporations and banks, a new kind of government was planned and organized. Today, that government exists. This new governing body has a central bank called the World Bank as its apex or executive branch. Just beneath the World Bank is the World Trade Organization, which carries out the economic missions of the World Bank. We call this the economic branch of government. Next are the legislative and judicial branches combined, which makes and carries out the laws necessary to fulfill the missions of the World Bank. The legislative judicial branch of the world order is the United Nations. Now presents their new laws to all countries in agreement with the New World Order. These countries, via signed agreements and treaties with the UN, agreed to comply with the missions of the World Bank. The United States and 158 other countries in the world signed these agreements and treaties. The United Nations then came up with a book of plans to implement the missions of the New World Order into the 159 signatory countries. The plans were called Agenda 21, meaning the New World Order agenda for the 21st century. And certainly you can read about Agenda 21 on my website, listenersamericanexpose.com. It's all over the place there. Beginning in 1992, Al Gore agreed with his signature that the United States would implement the missions documented in Agenda 21. And our country then became and began politically and socially restructuring to meet the requirements of the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, and the United Nations. This is why CAFTA had to pass, listeners. So in brief, the UN Agenda 21 calls for a new kind of American government that is based upon corporate financial governance. What that means is that both the international and national corporations now dictate governmental policy in 159 countries in the world. Policy is based upon economic profits for businesses and banks. If you happen to be at the top of a very large business totem pole, you may fare well as long as you follow the rules of the United Nations. However, if you happen to be of the average working class, which is about 99% of the American population, your world is rapidly changing. So, where is it rapidly changing? Our schools have changed. We are terribly confused by the new curriculums, the proficiency testing, required parental signatures that promise our children are keeping up, finishing homework, are exactly where they should be in the comprehension of the subject matter. We are actually forced to sign weekly and monthly papers and return our signature, which are agreements to our children's teachers. If our children fall behind, they're left behind as teachers do not wait for our help to our children to keep up. And this is the whole point and the problem. Any child who now falls behind in any subject is immediately singled out and is sent to a group with another special teacher. Equally, hours of homework, even in elementary grades, are now required nightly. There is little or no deviation in weekly tasks and homework. All handouts and worksheets are pre-designed, and teacher creativity has vanished. This we know because we have all become slaves of our children's take-home folders, which require a full half-hour attention 5 nights a week. Our children in school for 7 hours a day now spend 2-3 hours each night doing homework, while parents initial their work, verifying their child has mastered all lessons. Also, RFID, that's radio frequency identification tags worn by school children, have arrived and will soon be mainstreamed into all public schools. And what are RFID tags but tracking devices, listeners? Our energy bills, heating, cooling, and transportation have all tripled since 1992. Our communication devices have all gone digital, allowing for global tracking of our telephones. Our purchases via RFID labels, our automobiles, our computer systems, our cable TV, our digital radios, our bank and medical records, our IRS records, or, in other words, every call we make, email we send, every illness we acquire, every item we buy, every reservation we make, in essence, everything that we do as consumers and taxpayers is traceable. Keep in mind Chapter 40 of Agenda 21, information for decision-making, listeners. Information for decision-making. And bear with me, callers. If you are a rural American, particularly a citizen living in a wilderness or remote farming area, you may have become particularly aware of the taking of thousands upon thousands of acres of land by conservation organizations, ranging from the Nature Conservancy, the Wildlands Project, the Conservancy Fund, the Department of Natural Resources, and many other groups that all seemed to be somehow connected to each other. They invite locals to attend stakeholder meetings and then envision how their land should be protected from developers. But they facilitate the visions with manipulations such as, let us help you preserve and protect your pristine land. Tourists will come and boost your economy. We will help you find the money. That's what they'll say, while smiling and assuring you that they are working for the good of your community. And so you agree with their ideas for good ideas, and their offers to help are accepted. Unfortunately, their truthful agendas are to expand UN biosphere reserves in the United States, where in the very near future, no tourist or locals will be permitted to go. Another very variable sign of Agenda 21 operating in America is the new housing communities being built in urban, suburban, and suburban outskirt areas. These communities are much like tiny towns that are statistically coordinated, often interconnected or condo-like, many with nice walking paths and landscape gardens, some with small stores, post offices, and many encouraging the use of electronic cart transportation. These communities usually offer expensive through small living quarters, but are very pretty. Oftentimes, they are mostly paved with a commons area or a community centered green space. Some have small ponds or lakes, picnic areas, and planned events for residents. These communities are literally being built everywhere in all 50 states. You rarely see middle-class home building. You will, however, see enormous $1, $2, and $3 million homes that are being raised on the borders of the wild and most rural areas. These homes are sold to wealthy people, erected on land that was to be protected from development. Profit, however, is the objective of the New World Order, and that includes conservation organizations. This, too, is happening in all 50 states. And the question of why the mega mansions and the eco communities built in the same time surfaces. Either there are many, many multimillionaires, or perhaps corporations are building the mansions, but for whom is the question asked? You will notice the drastic change in television in the last 10 to 13 years. It's pretty safe to say that television has become extremely addicting. Peculiar reality television and very dark and futuristic type crime dramas have literally taken over prime time, and at the expense of family programming. Television has become positively strange. You will notice that grocery prices are off the charts, and that eating has become a key component of big marketing firms. We are told every year about our new foods and that we should be eating. You should not be eating, avoiding, or adding to our diets. You will notice that the food pyramid made us pretty fat, which is now an obese crisis according to the United Nations system. And that protein diet supposedly makes us thin. But the beef industry is under constant criticism, threat, and control. even to the point of implanting tracking chips into cattle headed to market, supposedly due to mad cow disease. Bird flu and the poultry industries are under constant scrutiny as a cause for a potential global pandemic. One cannot help but wonder about global food control. Equally, you will notice the constant criticism of parents feeding drive-through food to our children, and it being responsible for childhood obesity. Yet schools partner with drive-through chains and give children drive-through food on their birthdays and coupons for driving through food for good grades. Many schools actually have these chains operating inside school buildings. Entrepreneurship and working from home is highly encouraged by the government, as is volunteerism, even compulsory volunteerism. Homes, automobiles, college educations, health care, and insurance became virtually unaffordable to almost all American people just about 10 to 13 years ago, listeners. Autism has been scientifically linked to childhood vaccines, which are still mandatory for entrance into public schools. Yet autism is in epidemic numbers in the United States. The government allowed the drug industry to continue using mercury as a catalyst in a vaccine, knowing it contributed to autism, but chose to disregard the knowledge. Terrorism is supposedly the top priority in our country, and yet the northern and southern borders are 150% open. Jobless and hungry, those crossing then become the burden of financially strapped American taxpayers, and we are clueless as to who or what causes or crosses our borders, minus, of course, the tens of thousands of weapon-carrying drug dealers. NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are intruding into community boardrooms and local governments all across the nation as well. They, too, come as helpers to communities. But they also come to envision, which means to convince boards and mayors to participate in their agendas. Many of the NGOs are trained propagandists who are working for larger corporations and organizations. The real job of NGOs on local levels is to dismantle local government and oftentimes county boundary lines. NGOs then replace local government as appointed versus elected officials. These are but just a few of the visible signs of Agenda 21 in America, listeners, and you will notice that the discrepancies are many. But there is a rhyme and reason for the changes in our country. It's called the New World Order, order meaning governance. And I would also say, listeners, once again, I would call it the New World Communist Order. The future of an American governed by the United Nations is terrifying when you do the documenting, listeners. One of the primary goals of Agenda 21 is to eliminate private property from American citizens. Private property is described as a primary contributor to class distinction or the haves and have-nots. However, Agenda 21 also seeks to absorb private property, governing its use, and eliminating public access roads on the property taken in the name of conservation. Big conservation takes private property in the United States, sells it to the government, which then gives it to the UN under World Heritage Treaty dictates. Every American citizen needs to understand what is happening in our neighborhoods and countries, listeners. This is 13 years into implementation. It's ongoing. And once again, I take this thing back to our government that's implementing these directions in Iraq, in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, under the guise of another Pearl Harbor, another phony attack on our country, the 9/11 World Trade Center disaster. We going in to Iraq and Afghanistan is the result of the work of the International Monetary Fund, of the United Nations system. We have no U.S. Treasury any longer. It's the Treasury of the IMF, of the UN. Who is the alternate governor of the International Monetary Fund? One last chance. Who is the alternate governor of the IMF, listeners? We'll be right back. welcome back to the broadcast. I've silenced the callers. John in Ohio, John in New York, what's the matter with you guys? I'm challenging you to call in today. The documentation speaks for itself. The direction is very well in place. The U.S. is the U.N. Who is the alternate governor of the IMF? Sam in Missouri. Welcome to the broadcast, Sam.
Yeah, this one, I never even thought about this one, but I'll take a stab at it. What about Greenspun, as I call him?
Green Scam?
Yeah.
Alan Green Scam?
Yeah.
Ding! You get the lucky dollar.
Well, that's what I thought. You know, when you brought that up, I thought this guy's always speaking for it all, you know, so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. You know, sometimes these things, even the best of us out here, we get so involved in all of our different directions that we don't sometimes think about the basics. But I suspected as much. Well, Chris, you know, the thing is, for in case John in Ohio and various other ones out there are listening or wondering, these guys got to remember, you know, that think along the socialist line, is that the United States is not only is the United States the UN, but we sponsored not only the UN, but we sponsored the downfall of China, the downfall of the Soviet Union. We financed the Bolshevik Revolution.
Right.
So, you know, the bottom line is, while the cats were all away being preoccupied with bread and circuses, the mice were playing, and the cats were being led along in the scam and didn't even know it. And one of the things, you know, that I hear a lot of people, you know, wondering about is, well, how come this information is so readily available now? You know, and of course the answer to that is that technology has improved, or we have much better mass distribution of information than we used to through things like the Internet. Why do you think they're so scared of the Internet?
Good point.
And so this is why we have to make the best use of this tool. You know, now granted, like everything else, there's good and bad out there. But, Chris, I can't think of a better place to find all the documentation needed than your website, which is why you're on the front page of theinformationcorner.com.
Which is your website.
That's exactly right. So, you know, folks, it's all out there. All you got to do is look it up, pull it up, and you can do Google searches and various other search engine searches that will also lead you in different directions. But the main thing is that it's all right there. And then one of the things that that I know we took off and did once we really started becoming aware of this, I discovered that you can take and log searches in search engines in your bookmarks. And so having found that out, I just set up a search page off of our website with Google searches that were already predefined, and you could just go in, click on those Google searches that we've already done for you, and it'll pull the pages right up from Google, for example. So, you know, we're living in a time where information is more easily had than ever before, but yet we have such a dumbed-down, brainwashed populace. It is the most strange, it's the strangest time that I believe I could ever witness in my life. And, you know, here we've got all the information, and between the apathy due to the brainwashing and the fact that most of us have lived relatively sanitary lives compared to the rest of the world over the years. And I think part of the problem is, Chris, there's too doggone many people who just take their freedom for granted out there. And
yeah.
They don't see the writing on the wall till it's too late.
Sam, stay with me. I think we're going to be joined with Don from Republic Trading to open up the broadcast. But, Sam, stay with me.
You bet.
And, listeners, the call-in number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Call in.